2 Samuel chapter 12, and we'll read a few verses here. David, God called a man after his own heart, and David, just before these verses we're about to read, David, of course, committed adultery with Bathsheba. And the sermon, the title of the sermon tonight, I had it in our, about 7-week series. Nice to see you, David, back there. That's not David in the Bible. We had this message planned, preventing adultery and fornication or preventing moral catastrophe. And 2 Samuel chapter 12, and look at verse number 1. And the Lord sent Nathan, of course Nathan was the prophet. The prophet is usually the one that comes and brings the bad news. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. Of course, he's referring to David as the rich man. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house. This, of course, is one of the consequences of David's sin, and the sword never left David's house. Because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said, Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. By the way, any sin that we commit that is public sin, the worst thing about public sin is it hurts the testimony of Christ. Private sin, it hurts us. Public sin, it hurts the testimony of Christ. And if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian, you ought to talk like a Christian. You ought to act like a Christian. Girls, we ought to dress like Christians. Men, we ought to dress like Christians. If we're sitting over here and there's 10 of us here and someone comes in, they ought to be able to see that they look like Christians. They talk like Christians. They act like Christians. And whether it's in the workplace, we shouldn't get caught up in all the gossip in the lunchroom and all that. But it gives occasion for the enemy to blaspheme God. Verse number 13, and David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Aren't you glad that God forgives our sins? Thou shalt not die, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And the baby did die, and Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. We know the story. The baby died. Father, help us tonight to gain wisdom, and Lord, help us to take heed to your word. Lord, help us as we think about the song that Nick was singing, Guard Your Heart. We live in a very sensual, immoral culture, and Lord, that's the topic of discussion tonight. Help us to do everything to maintain a good testimony. Help us do everything to honor your name and not disgrace the name of our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Three root causes to all of our problems: bitterness, temporal value system, moral impurity. Moral impurity is the ugliest. Temporal value system, you know, it's just greed and materialism, and, you know, you could sort of get away with whatever, just sort of takes away a lot of your heart from God, like I was talking about loving God this morning. Bitterness, it's a root problem, and a lot of times you don't see it. You sort of lose your joy and so forth. Moral impurity, it's ugly. It's ugly. It's ugly. I mean, we see what happened to David, and those of you that know people that have gotten involved with adultery and fornication, let me give you just 30 fast points. I'm going to read them. Preventing moral catastrophe. You say, Pastor, where'd you get these? These are from the Word of God, and these are from other older godly men that have been around that taught me, okay? And so I think this will help. Number one, and I've already said that, realize moral failure can happen to anybody. Nobody's immune to this. Nobody. Preacher behind the pulpit, school leader, preacher's son, nobody is immune to this. Really, it happened to David. I already went into some of that. No, that's number one. Number two, walk close to God. The greatest protection that we can have from any sin, and by the way, Joseph was a young man, and Joseph was in his, how do you say it? He was. Listen, when you're 19 and 20, girls, you really want to, I mean, you want to get married. So what is it you want to get married? You want to touch a girl, right? Don't give me that look. We say around here, if you touch our girls, you're in trouble. You're in our school, you touch our girls, you're expelled. But if you don't want to touch our girls, you're expelled. You understand that? Come on, we're not a bunch of weird people. Well, some of us are. Walk close to God. Here's Joseph in a time in his life where, listen, he wanted to touch a girl, and all of a sudden the master's gone. By the way, Joseph did not have the full Bible. This is in the book of Genesis. He did not have the Holy Spirit in his heart. He didn't have all that we have. He didn't have a local church. He didn't have a pastor. But you know what he had? He had a walk with God. The greatest protection from moral catastrophe is walking with God. I always say this. Couples, listen, the best thing for your marriage, we counsel, we give you books, we give you CDs, we teach lessons, we preach messages. But the best guarantee for your marriage is you walk with God. Here's God, here's the husband, here's the wife. You get close to God, we do still have to be careful, but walk close to God. That's number two. Number three, as leaders, we should have the highest standards of morality. You say, why? Because everybody's looking to us for an example. What the leader does in moderation, the followers do in excess. Mom, when you let your guard down, your daughter's going to let her guard down more. Dad, you let your guard down, your son's going to, he's going to let his guard down more. Leaders in the church, leaders in the home. Again, that's why I said, I've never, I'm sure I can figure it out, Brother Kyle, how to get on a way. I've never done it. I've never put the little thing up there and hit the button and put on a website. You say, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to have a high standard in our church to say, listen, the pastor's trying to be careful. You should try to be careful. By the way, man, and anytime you have a group like this, somebody has been messing around with pornography. And let me say this. You mess around with pornography, and if you're single, you're going to ruin some girl someday. And you say, you'll never be satisfied with your future wife. And if you're messing around and you're married with pornography, you are messed up. You're messing up your wife. You say, what do you need? You need to go get some help. By the way, some of what's going on with the Olympics is pornography as far as I'm concerned. I'll throw that out there. Just want to let you know that. Number four. Remember, the more influence you have for God, the more sexual darts of temptation Satan and his demons will throw at you. Don't just think because you're a leader, oh, now I'm, you know. No, now you have more darts thrown at you. You say, why? Because Satan knows if he can get the leader, Satan knows he can influence a bunch of followers, and he can hurt the influence of that leader. So remember, the more influence you have, the more sexual darts you have thrown at you. Number five, remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what do you mean? That means this. Well, I walk with God, and I read my Bible, and I walked around the block. Let me say, that billboard up there, you cannot look at that billboard, even if you read your Bible for 2 hours, you praised God for 30 minutes, you thanked God for 30 minutes, you had petitions and intercession for 30 minutes, that billboard still is flesh, and it's still, the flesh is weak. Don't look at it. Stay away from all that junk. That 710 freeway, it's horrible. I wish there was some way you can just drive with your eyes closed for 15 minutes. The best Christians are vulnerable. And by the way, I say that also to say this. Don't discredit somebody. I'm going to get this in a minute. We don't cover up sin around here. We don't tell everybody sin, okay, especially in leadership. But let me say this. Just because a leader falls doesn't mean they're a bad guy. Let me just say this for whatever it's worth. In my 24 years, especially in the early days, we haven't had a lot of it, but we've had some. And I've talked to preachers who've been around for years, pastoring 30, 40 years. And I asked one pastor, I said, man, how do I deal with this situation? I was trying to help a guy. He messed up. This was years ago. And I was trying to help him and trying to help his wife. And the guy just was so discouraged. And he said, look. He said, one thing that can help this guy right here is you tell, and this helped me, he said, you tell this guy that there are more men, probably, than not, that would commit sexual sin if they knew they wouldn't get caught than you can shake a stick at. And the only reason they don't commit sexual sin is because they don't want to get caught. You say, what's the point? The point is this. It's not saying it's right. It's not saying anything close to being right. It is saying this. Even some good men, they'll be tempted and compromised. And what we don't want to do is throw rocks at them and act like we're better than them. Amen? Next, don't wear yourself out. We all must be physically, mentally, and emotionally drained all of the time. Makes you open to temptation and vulnerable. Look, there are times when we are weak, spiritually weak, mentally weak, emotionally weak, okay? And when you're weak, you're very open and very vulnerable. I heard a preacher say, he said, there's a certain time, if you go hunting for deer, they see you a couple hundred yards away, man, they're gone. But there's a certain time of the year when deers are mating. That deer will come right up to your rifle barrel and start sniffing it. I hope you can catch that. Look, when you're tired and weak, you know what you need to do? Go to bed. Okay? you're more vulnerable. It doesn't. That's not the time to call your old friend from college that's of an opposite gender. Okay? Number next. Keep your spouse's emotional tank full. Men, love your wife. It keeps your wife's emotional tank full. We had three sermons on that. Ladies, reverence your husband. It keeps his emotional tank full. It is almost impossible to have an affair when a spouse's emotional tank is full. Again, we're more vulnerable. By the way, if your emotional tank is empty, you still stay faithful to your wife and you stay faithful to God. But we are here to help our spouse. And what you do, ladies, reverence your husband. Tell him how great of a guy he is, even though he might not be that great. And husbands, you love your wife and be kind to her and give her a bunch of sweet talk and tell her how what a wonderful wife she is and she cleaned the house so nice and she's a queen. What's that do? It fills up her emotional tank. And I'll preach a whole sermon, three sermons on that. Keep your spouse's emotional tank full. They will not be so vulnerable. Number eight, and you single people, plug your ears. Married people, stay intimate with your spouse. And I can't talk about it. We had one whole sermon one night. S.M. Davis preached it for us. 1 Corinthians 7:5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with the consent for a time that ye may give yourselves, talking about intimacy in marriage, you give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. What's he saying? You need to stay faithful intimately. Number nine. Get counsel when your marriage is on the rocks so you can work at filling each other's emotional tank. Don't wait until it's catastrophic. Number 10, be careful at work. Be careful at work. I believe it's 70% of affairs start at work. Every once in a while, if your wife works at a work, it works in the world, it would be nice if none of our wives work in the world. That'd be wonderful. And I know that's not the way it is for everybody. Thank God if your husband's worked it out and you don't have to work out in the world. But if your wife works in the world, you know what you need to do every once in a while, sir? You need to show up at her workplace. Have lunch with her. You might want to show the coworkers, if they're male, all of the new guns you just bought. Hey, want to see some of my new toys I just got? You say, I thought you're supposed to trust in Jesus. We trust in Jesus, and we are all National Rifle Association card carriers. Amen? Ladies, it wouldn't hurt for you to show up at your wife's. Your wife's. Better not have a wife. Checking to see if you're awake. Show up at your husband's place. Just go over there and hang all over him. Hang all over. Okay? Just look at all the wives. Look at all the ladies in the workplace. Hi. This is my husband. Hi. This is my husband. By the way, wear your wedding ring. That was sort of like the wave. Amen. So, well, my finger's too fat. Get another one. Yeah, we can get, listen, I don't know how much, my wife and I, mine got so bent up, it's a nice ring, but it just got real bent up, it's soft gold, got all bent up. We went over to the Carson Mall, they had one on sale. This was like $125. Okay, it was just, man, my ring was all tore up, and be careful at work. Show up at your spouse's workplace every once in a while. You say, oh, Pastor, we're supposed to just trust God. I know, that's the problem. We're trusting God, but we're a bunch of Kool-Aid drinkers. Okay? Look, it is horrible what's happening all over the world. I'm gonna mention the mission field here in a minute. What's going on in the mission field? Christians, talk about Christians. I mean, we expect the world to do that. And by the way, I'm not saying, look, this has been going on for years. This has been going on for since the book of Genesis. We understand that. But part of it is we're just not careful. We're just, I trust them. They're Christians. No, I don't trust myself. I'm a Christian. I don't trust my flesh. Okay? And be careful at work. Number 11, keep your distance from strange women. You can look up all the Proverbs 2:16. We're not going to turn there because we don't have time. Proverbs 5:3, Proverbs 5:20, Proverbs 6:24, Proverbs 7:5, Proverbs 23:27. The strange woman. You say, who's a strange woman? Is she the bad woman? No, the strange woman is anybody that's not your wife. Keep your distance from a strange woman. At work, at school, at church, during ministry. By the way, you bus workers, you keep your distance. Keep your distance. I don't mean like 20 feet away. Too close. Look, it's very easy, an unintentional relationship to be developed. Then it's done. Guard your heart. Once you develop that relationship, we've learned this. Listen, we've learned this. With God's grace, we get people off of drugs, we get them off of booze, we get them off of all kinds of junk, get them out of the gangs. But there's one thing that's almost impossible to do: spread two people apart that have given their hearts to each other. It's almost impossible. I mean, listen, it's like pulling a pit bull off a little chihuahua's neck. It's almost impossible. Men, number 12, men minister to men in the church and women minister to women. By the way, we have sisters right here. We have the two sisters here. We have a sister here. We got a sister here. Glad you sisters are all in the front row. Sisters in Christ, I'm a pastor. I probably talk to the ladies probably more in a sense as a pastor, you know, than maybe the regular people. Just I'm the pastor, and I want to be nice, and I'm their pastor. But let me say this. When somebody, I talk to people this week, and I'll say, you know what, why don't, and by the way, I don't regular counsel ladies. I'll counsel a lady, and it's like, we want you to talk to my wife. We want you to talk to Miss Alma Myers. Okay, why don't you talk to one of the ladies? Or if we can come together, if it's ongoing, it's not going to be, I'm not going to be ongoing counseling with a lady. Amen? So you too. We got all kinds. We have bus captains and Sunday school teachers, okay? Say, oh, well, you know, I'm Dr. Phil, and I know all that. No, you don't know all the answers, okay? Get your wife involved. By the way, there's a little problem when a man wants to keep talking to some lady, okay? Don't just stay away from that stuff, okay? By the way, look, we're our male ego, some lady comes up or some young, oh, they just, yeah, can you help? Oh, you know, just our, stay away from it. Men minister to men in the church. Women minister to women in the church. Men counsel men in the church. Women counsel women in the church. Men and women should distance themselves from all those of the opposite gender when they're having difficult times. Please, if somebody is having a difficult time, in other words, if Charlie Chim over here, if he's having a rough time, he does not need to be talking to any of the teenage girls, not any in a sense, but he does not need to get his comfort from some single girl in the church. He needs to get comfort from Ryan Rawler. He needs to get comfort from Brother Kyle Beck. Be careful. We're very vulnerable. Yeah, well, there's no men in the church. There's a bunch of men in this church. Okay? And girls, you need to talk to ladies. And so that's that. I was going to say, you're still awake on the patio. No one's on the patio. Be careful about calling men that are not your uncle your uncle. Let me say that again. This is my uncle. No, no, no. You don't have the same blood. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? You know, we grew up together, and he's like my uncle. If you knew what I knew, you wouldn't let any of your daughters have any. By the way, I know our Cambodian people, they call all the older men uncles. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we get so close. Well, we're like blood. Don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Just trust me on that. And I don't have time to go into that. Don't get too comfortable with talking to anybody of the opposite gender. You say, well, I just... By the way, don't come to church. You say, every time I come to church, it's like a magnet. I want to talk to this person, but we're just brothers and sisters. No. You know what that means? That's a sign that you need to say, I need to quit talking to this sister. Not quit talking to them, but quit going to them like a magnet. Number 17, we're over halfway there. Everybody still awake out there? No, be careful about getting too close as couples. Okay, I heard this years ago. I heard this before I ever pastored. And I never forget, we had a couple in our church, and this couple, they always went out together. Matter of fact, it was a newer couple, new convert in the church, and they're together growing. One of our good couples in our church. They kept going out to eat together. They did fellowships together. Everything. Just these two couples. You know what eventually happens? By the way, I was a little concerned, but I was probably too young and too dumb. They start dating each other. And next thing you know it, by the way, do you understand? My wife knows all of my weaknesses. You get around anybody too much, it's like, wow, they're nicer than my husband. Not when behind closed doors. All of us men are a bunch of meanies anyway, okay? Just trust us. Okay? Be careful about that. Number 18. By the way, that couple, the lady came to me and said, Pastor, you won't believe this. And she's crying. I said, What's wrong? She said, my husband's having an affair with this girl. It's this married lady. It's the couple they kept going out with. And she was devastated. It was actually probably the first time in our church that we had something like that. And I said, no, settle down. Don't listen to rumors. She said, no, I heard it on the phone. Okay? They got too close to each other. Be careful about the temptations of technology. I already said this. I want to encourage you. By the way, you can take all this and throw it. God, these are standards. The conviction is stay clean. The problem is, I'll tell you who break their convictions. Those that have no standards to keep their convictions. We are not going, people say, well, over the Pacific, they have too many standards. We're going to keep them. You say, why? Because we're trying to stay moral. We're trying to stay clean and holy for a holy God that has a high moral standard. And you're not, I can't remember, it's S.M. Davis. I was having lunch with him. I think he's the one that told me. And he said, do you know what do you call them? Purity rings? How many have heard of purity rings? You know where the girls and the guys, they say, okay, I'm going to commit to being pure. You know what they said? They did surveys on people that had the purity rings, committed the purity rings, and those that didn't, and there's no difference in their purity. You say, why? Because it's not making a commitment to stay pure that keeps you pure. It's having standards to keep that commitment is what's going to keep you pure. It's having walls of protection. It's having moms and dads to help you with it. It's not just making that decision. Technology, require your spouse to check your email and your text history quarterly. Can you do that? And it can't be erased, right? It can't be erased? Okay, can you tell those companies to make it so they can't erase it? You have to have some way. It should never be like, hey, give me that phone. You can't look at that. That's a problem. I'm one with my spouse. By the way, we have new Christians in our church. Please, you've been out in a place that's not, they don't teach a way of godliness. They teach a way of sneakiness and being subtle and sneaking behind your husband and having a private high life behind your wife's back, and someday your marriage is going to break up. Don't listen to those girls at work. Don't listen to the men at the job site. You know what you need to do? Listen to God. Be holy. Be accountable. Require. Don't just ask your wife. Require her. Require him to check your all that stuff. Require your spouse to check your phone and email. Well, are you suspicious? No, I'm trying to keep it so that we can just trust each other. Require your spouse to check ways on your website and have all those filters, and I don't know how to do all that stuff. Be careful about being too nice or flirtatious when you text or email people. I've learned this. It's easier to compromise on a cell phone text message and on an email than it is in front of somebody. What it does, it's almost like put a filter to where it's easy for people to do that. And you say, how do you know? I've had to deal with some good people. I've had to put out some fires. Oh, you know, my wife, my husband, they're doing all this. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. And I know what happened. They let down their guard, and they started getting too friendly on the texting and emailing. And then, of course, eventually, if you're not careful, it leads to moral catastrophe. Have the highest of standards in your home. Number 19, keep each other accountable. When my son turned 18 and he can drive, and he got 19, he started coming and going. He started coming and going a little bit. I said, hey, son, come over here a minute. I said, look, By the way, parents, just because your kids are 18, 19, 20 doesn't mean they should be able to go wherever they want anytime they want. Now, my girls, they can't go anywhere anyway. But I said, son, let me talk to you. One of these days you're going to get married, and you can't just come and go as you please. Just come and go. You just can't do that. And I said, what's going to happen? You're going to have a habit of just coming and going your please. Now, what I was trying to say, number one, I want to sort of wean you off of being a kid and a teenager. I want you to be an adult. But adults need accountability too. I said, son, when you leave the house, you let me know. Let me know where you're going and what time you're coming home. Let me say this. There's not a man in here, I don't care if you're 15 or 50, that you need to be anywhere where somebody doesn't know where you are. Okay? There's not a lady here. Well, you know, I'm an adult. I can take care of myself. You get that mindset. One of these days, you're going to do something that's sinful. You say, why? Everybody needs accountability. And so we'll just leave that one at that. Keep each other accountable. And then never... Here again, there's no commandment, no 11th commandment on this. These are just some standards, I think, that can keep us all safe. Never drive in a car with somebody by yourself of the opposite gender. Just don't do it. Oh, but we're just friends. You'd be shocked how that girl, when you're in the car by yourself, she's like, you're like, we feel different in a car when we're by ourselves. Okay, and by the way, I shouldn't say it. Should I say it? I better not. I'll say this. She looks a lot prettier when you're by yourself, too, when nobody else is around. Anyway, let me get to the next point. Dr. Lee, by the way, if for no other reason, for your testimony's sake, how would you like to see Pastor driving down the street with some girl? I get a little nervous when my daughter's in the front seat of the car because I'm wondering if there's some new people in the church seeing Pastor driving down the street with some girl that's not his wife. If for no other reason, just, oh, well, you know, nothing would ever happen. Just play it safe, okay? Number 21, I'll skip the Lee Robertson story. Realize behind every human tragedy there's a long process of evil thinking. If you're thinking immoral thoughts, you are on the path to immorality. Fill your mind with God's word. A fantasy, by the way, that I mentioned this morning in one of the churches, a novel or soap opera or some love story, a novel or a love story to a girl is what pornography is to a man. It's fulfilling an expectation that your spouse cannot meet. So, I don't know what point that was. It was good, though. Realize behind every human tragedy, there's a long process. I'll tell you what, I think I'm going to get to that in a minute. Ladies, you men, too, don't sit home and watch love stuff on the television. You say, where are our ladies getting, I don't mean our ladies in our church, where do the ladies get all this dress, this immodest, sensual, I'll tell you where they do, from television. I call it hellavision. And where are they getting these ideas? And by the way, you turn that television on for just a little bit, it's filled with garbage. It's like a sewer line from hell coming into our houses. You're wondering why, how these, by the way, the guys too, where are they getting all this filthy garbage and all this thought and all these sensual, sneaky stuff? I'll tell you, they're getting it from the television, getting it from movies and so forth. Number 22. Pray for those that have fallen and realize if it were not for the good grace of Almighty God, it could have been you and me. 23, support our way of restoring an immoral, faithful church member. Please get this. Many churches in this country have a plague of immorality. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? It's like a plague. It's all over the place. It's in the young people. It's in the married people. It's in the single adults. It's in the teenagers. You say, why? The way the church handles immorality in the church. The way they handle maybe a leader in the church. Maybe there's somebody that's very visible in the church. And I'm not going to tell you how we handle it, but let me say this. If we're here, we've been here 24 years. If we're here another 25, 26 years, if I'm still pastoring, it's going to happen. And we handle it in a way so the plague doesn't start in this church. We do not have a plague of immorality in Pacific Baptist Church. And we don't want to have a plague of immorality in Pacific Baptist Church. And so sometimes we have to handle certain things. Just help us with that. Number 24, stay away from sensual music. Sensual music, whether it's Christian music or it's non-Christian music, is an aphrodisiac. Did I say that right? Is that right, Ezekiel? You shouldn't even know that word. That's for people over 60. Sensual music is an aphrodisiac. Say, what's an aphrodisiac? Too many single people here that aren't married, I won't tell you. Sensual music puts you in a mood to not... Anyway, be careful. Stay away from sensual music. Number 25, be careful when you are away from the walls of protection. Be careful. Traveling. You travel out of your city. You travel out of the city. You travel where there's nobody that you know. There's nobody around there that's your family. Your husband's not there. Your wife's not there. Your children aren't there. There's people in the church that aren't there. Your neighbors aren't there. Let me say this. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Vacation. Do you know people compromise their morals on vacation? Traveling for work. You got to travel. Some of our people have to travel. They go out of state. They go to different parts of the country. Be careful. Be careful. Missions trips. This is an amazing thing. I've been on a few missions trips. By the way, let me say this. Dads, Brother Board's going to be here next month, and he's going to challenge everybody in the whole church to become a missionary to Southeast Asia. I'm going to just tell you this. Don't just let your teenage girls go over there. Now we had our senior trip. Brother Ross is there. We had staff there. We had people watching. Well, my daughter's 19. I want her to go over there. We've had some of our single girls. Girl there. Nancy's been there. We've had some of the other single girls there. Kayla's been there. But let me say this: don't just drop your daughter off on the mission field. Okay, it is not very safe over there. Oh, well, you know, just the missionary. I know, just the missionaries. Okay? If you want to, and maybe you might want a very wonderful, wonderful, godly man, got all excited about his daughter going to the mission field, and guess what? She got pregnant on the mission field. And so be very, very, and let me say this. I've been in the mission field a few times. It's almost like this wall of protection is gone. And it's almost like what happens is, even some of our good people, it's like, wow. They're acting a little differently. It's like this wall of protection. Be very, very careful. Number 26, ladies, dress to please God and your husband, not to turn men's heads. Come on, guys. We'll have a louder amen. Okay? Especially here at church. I mean, in public, too, because we're here. We're to please God. I don't want to come to Pacific Baptist Church and to come here and go, ah. What are we trying to do? Dress to please your Savior and your husband. Okay? And so, ladies, dress. Look, I have a hard enough time driving down the 710 freeway. If I go to the store or the mall, let's come to church and have a pure place. Amen? Turn off the sex-saturated television. They know they can't keep you... on their channel, listen, the way they get their money is by their ratings, and those ratings will make it so that the commercials that they pay for are higher because there's more people watching it. They know they have to keep you watching it by having some hellish-looking girl on there. Turn that junk off. Grab a book, read a Bible, get a listen. If you're so addicted, you know. I mean, when I was a kid, it was like this: you walked in the house, and if the TV wasn't on, you ran to the TV and turned it on. It's like if the TV wasn't on, you just man. I remember you had tubes in the TV. How many remember the tubes in the TV? One of the tubes went out. It was like, man, the house is haunted. Don't go in the house. The television's not working. You had to have the television on all two things, television and refrigerator. You open the refrigerator, and you just cool off the whole L.A. County, you know, just checking. It's the same stuff that was in there yesterday. Just, you know, just close it. Turn off the sex-saturated TV. protect, number 28, we're almost done, protect your spouse and children from relatives and friends. Folks, let me say this. You can't trust just about anybody. You just can't. Look, if I had everybody bow their head and close their eyes, and I said, how many girls have been violated by an uncle, cousin, a friend of the father? Just break your heart. By the way, they're always friends and relatives. 9 times out of 10, they're friends and relatives. Don't let them stay over uncle's house unless you're there. Oh, yeah, no, this uncle, he's a good guy. Trust him. I like Brother Goddard said. He said it here. He said, I'm careful even with grandpa. And I, by the way, that's the day and age we're living in today. Protect your spouse and your children from relatives and friends. There's so much I can say. I've said this over and over. No sleepovers. You say, what's a sleepover? We're having a, what do you call it, slumber party. Slumber party of the pastor. We ain't having slumber parties at the pastor's house. Okay, how many went to slumber? I did. How many went to slumber parties when you were a kid? Were you guys reading the Bible? We weren't. There's all kinds of mischief going on. Well, it's just a bunch of girls. I know. You get about 5 girls together, you know what they're thinking about? Boys. By the way, you don't know who's the father in that house. Well, I know him. You don't know him. Never forget, right in front of this family, didn't go to our church anymore. Right in front, a family visited our church and brokenhearted. They said, my daughter was at a slumber party, and later on we found out the father violated my daughter. Well, he didn't, you know, I mean, he somehow coaxed her into it. Just recent days had a mother bawling to come to find out that one of her children were violated by one of their family members. Be careful. You be careful. You be careful. Be very careful. No sleepovers. Number 30, we're done. Be careful about people living with you or you living with people. We're done. Never forget, we had a family in our church. It was back when we were helping a lot of troubled kids. Family came, and this guy, him and his wife, is just bawling. So what happened? He said, my daughter got pregnant. I said, man, what happened? He says, I don't know. He said, we started living with one of my friends for a little while, and they had an 18-year-old son, and I don't know what happened. Come on, folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what happened. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's all stand together.